We're at chapter 42, and we are saving our worship time for after the teaching, which I think the reason will be self-explanatory after we jump into just these three verses that we're covering tonight. Isaiah has just been quoting the Lord regarding his ability to declare the future, not Isaiah's ability to declare the future, you understand, but God's ability to declare the future. So now Isaiah breaks into this this exhortation to worship. And we pick up in verse 10, and Isaiah writes, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices, the settlements where Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands." Now, my first impression of reading something like this is that we've read a lot of this kind of stuff before. Certainly, if you've ever read any of the Psalms, you know that this sounds, I mean, if I read this to you, you might even say, oh, that's probably one of the Psalms or probably many of the Psalms. So there's a lot of this kind of stuff in the Scriptures, very specifically with the same verbs and nouns and exhortations and things. And so I thought it might be beneficial to us just to camp out on these three verses and look at some of these things and maybe help define some terms and talk about the applications of them. Certainly, the idea of sing to the Lord a new song. We've heard that before. We constantly have that exhortation. As a matter of fact, as a worship leader for the last, 16 years or something like that, I know I've quoted that many times when introducing a new song to a church body or a small group and saying, hey, you know, the Bible says, sing to the Lord a new song, so let's learn a new song. So it's interesting to me, though, that it's sing to the Lord a new song. And I look back at all the songs that I've introduced over the years and songs that I've written and songs that I've sung, some of my favorite worship songs and things, and I realize I sing to the Lord that they're really singing about the Lord, but not to the Lord. They're about him, but they're not to him. Now there's certainly a place for that. There's certainly many places in Scripture where we're exhorting one another, like Isaiah's exhorting us, saying, hey, sing to the Lord a new song. And we could turn a song into that, and we could sing, I could write a song, you know, and it would go, sing to the Lord a new song, sing his praise, you know. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't write that song because that was terrible. But you notice how the content of the song, and most people would call that a worship song, you know, it's our praise and worship song, sing to the Lord a new song, you know. But it's really about the Lord. We're kind of singing to one another, aren't we, when we do that? And so, you know, a lot of popular worship songs are about the Lord and not to him. Again, they have their place, but here, as we're talking about the proper application, we have to realize that we're not going to have the same connection in worship with the Lord if we sing, "Our God is an awesome God, he reigns," right? Because what are we doing? We're making that statement, as opposed to something like, "Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek." You see how that's singing to the Lord as opposed to singing about the Lord. So again, I'm not, you know, trashing every song that says he instead of you, but certainly as worship leaders, we've tried to be real sensitive to that, and we just in praise and worship, you know, become aware of that kind of connection of, hey, this is to the Lord. I'm singing to the Lord. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. You know, and when your eyes are on me, you know, and you're talking to the Lord in praise. So sing to the Lord a new song, and also a new song. You know, we do introduce new songs, and we say that. It's certainly great encouragement for those of us that are songwriters to continue writing new music. It's great encouragement to the body of Christ to continue learning new music. But what's interesting to me is this week I looked this up, and I try, especially in really short passages, to try and look as many things up in the original language as I can. One of the things that really surprised me here, sing to the Lord a new song, the word new, chadash, actually is not like new like we would say new. It's like if you go down to Terrell Doyle Honda and you buy a 2006, you know, XQZ or whatever, I don't know. That's a new car, right? Yeah, it's a new car. But if you buy my car, you know, I've had it a couple years. I got it from the Honda dealership and, you know, I'm looking to move on. And so you get a car and you're showing your friends, hey, did you see my new car? Well, it's not a new, brand new car. It's just new to you, right? Well, chadash is that kind of new to you. It actually means renewed, or actually can also mean repaired. So when we say sing to the Lord a new song, really what it is sing to the Lord a renewed song, or even a repaired song. It's something where you get where you're refreshing this. So this can be an idea of even old songs. And something I'm looking forward to this year is learning some hymns. I didn't have the advantage of growing up in church like many people here do. And when they ask me as a worship leader, they say, hey, you know, why don't we ever sing any hymns? My honest answer is, well, I don't know almost any hymns. I mean, not just do I not know how to play them, I never heard them before. So I've kind of made it one of my goals in 2006 to learn some hymns. And that those are old songs, and when we sing them for you, you know, they might be old, but we want them to be new songs. We want them to be renewed or repaired, where you get out of the old, I sang that in church every Sunday for my whole life, and, you know, I don't even think about it anymore. You know, I could sing the old Rugged Cross in my sleep, you know. Well, see, the idea is not singing it in our sleep. It's singing it with a renewed passion, with a renewed heart. So, interesting, that word chadash, King Asa ends up applying this word. King Asa, long story short, this is in 2 Chronicles 15. That would be pretty interesting if King Asa showed up in 2 Corinthians. King Asa hears Azariah the prophet speak to him about being strong in the Lord, and Asa's heart is motivated to strengthen his commitment to God, and he kind of gets this almost a renewed fervor and to rededicate himself to the Lord. And so he hears the words of this prophecy, and he takes courage and removes the idols from the land, and not just from Judah, but also from Benjamin and the cities that he had captured in Ephraim. It says, then he restored the altar of the Lord, which was in front of the porch of the Lord. The word restored there is chadash. He restored the altar of the Lord. That altar had been in use regularly for 60 years. And so it was just kind of there. It was just kind of, we were used to it. So he renewed it. He restored it. He repaired it. Yeah. And when we apply that to those songs, when we talk about restoration, renewal, you know, improvement, do old worship songs, or maybe not even old worship songs, but just worship songs in general, need to be chadashed in your heart? Do they need to be renewed? Maybe you've sung them so often that they don't mean that much anymore. I mean, you know, we can start rocking out on a Sunday morning, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. And we, you know, yeah, I really like the saxophone solo in that song. Or some people say, or I like that drum beat. Or, you know, yeah, you know, you don't really think about, you know, the words are just coming because you know that song. Well, maybe allowing your heart to be renewed, restored, repaired, chadashed, in regards to that, and really let these things take on fresh meaning and go, wait a second, Lord, I lift your name on high. That means I'm exalting your name. Lord, I love to sing your praises. God, do I love to sing your praises? Yeah. Yeah, I'm really into this. My heart's getting renewed. You know, I'm so glad you're in my life. I imagine that when that song was originally wrote and the author said, I am so glad you're in my life, God. That was just out of a fresh heart of, God, I'm just so glad you're in my life. And now it's kind of an incidental part of a song that we've sung so much that we kind of forget, a lot of us. So when we read Sing to the Lord a New Song, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about renewing the song, of repairing the song, giving it freshness, softening it up again. And so thinking about what we're singing and saying, yeah, God, I am so glad you're in my life. I really am. I'm so glad you came to save us. You know, those kind of things where you say, yeah, these are great things. This is awesome stuff. And I've been guilty of kind of just getting dull to it. So, you know, just taking a fresh look at the words of a worship song usually will do that for you. David in Psalm 40. David in Psalm 40, in the first three verses of Psalm 40, he says, and this is great, I love this, because this is just what we're talking about. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. So picture where David was. He was in a place where he was in the pit. You know, he was just, this is a bummer place to be. This is a bummer season to be in my life. And I had to wait. And I had to wait patiently. I didn't wait complaining. I waited patiently in the middle of my pit, in the middle of my despair. And David said, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth. Same word there, same renewed song. So just looking at, no matter how down in the dumps you might be, you know, and it's just, it's a bummer of a situation, but you wait on the Lord, and you wait on the Lord. And am I wrong? Waiting on the Lord is probably one of the hardest commands ever. You know, I mean, I don't mind waiting on the Lord as long as he answers now, you know. It's tough. It's unbelievably tough to wait patiently on the Lord. And yet, what happens when you wait? He picks you up. He picks you up out of the miry clay, and he sets your feet on the rock. And what does that do? That puts a new song in your heart. So that the songs are renewed, you know, in your mouth, and which of course gives you more reason to praise him. So sing to the Lord a new song, as it says in Psalm 98, for he has done wondrous things. Let those old songs be renewed. Let them be renewed in your mouth, because you realize, hey, God came through, or God's coming through. That's what the eyes of faith say. God's coming through. And so he's going to do it. And I like this too in Psalm 98 when it says, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. The word wonderful there means extraordinary. God has done extraordinary things. God is good. Folks, God is good. He loves us. He wants the best for us. He's got good plans for us. And they're extraordinary. They're extraordinary. They're extraordinary, which is what that word means, right? They're beyond the ordinary. God's got amazing things, wonderful, extraordinary things. So, going back to Isaiah 42, verse 10, sing to the Lord a renewed, a refreshed, a repaired, a restored song. Sing his praise from the ends of the earth. The word praise, Tehillah. And it comes from the root halal, which might sound more familiar to you. Halal as in hallelujah, which is an exhortation. Praise the Lord. What's interesting, though, is the word praise, at least literally in Hebrew, what it comes out to is it means to flash light on, to make boast of. You know, it does mean to praise, but essentially it's like you're taking a spotlight and putting it on somebody's good points. You know, you're boasting on somebody, you know, this person's so good at this, or you're great at that. And that's what praising the Lord is. You're saying, you're so good at this. You're so great. You know, you're so awesome. And so, you know, we point out the great stuff that we think about people, right? And we use that term praise. You know, you tell your child in elementary school, you know, son, you are so smart. You know, tell your daughter, you know, princess, you are so beautiful. You know, that kind of stuff. So you're praising them. You're shining the light on them. And you're essentially you're making boast of how great they are in whatever area that might be. So when you sing praise to the Lord, you're saying, God, you know, I love you. I worship you because you're powerful, you're merciful, you're loving, you're graceful, you're righteous. You're, you know, that's what praise is. You're just shining the light. You're making boast of the good stuff about God. Okay? So we sing to the Lord a new song, a renewed song. We sing his praise. And you notice this, that as you start looking at the verbs in these three verses, you've got sing in verse 10. You've got in verse 11, lift up their voices. Also in verse 11, you have sing aloud. You have shout for joy. In verse 12, you get declare his praise. So what do all these things have in common? Sing, lift up their voices, sing aloud, shout for joy, declare his praise. They all involve volume, right? They all involve volume. They're making noise. Now, sometimes it's a melodic noise and sometimes just, you know, it's a noise. And so what's great about this is that God is looking at the love in your heart for him, not the quality of your voice. You know, don't worry. We're not recording you here, you know. And if God's making tapes of your worship time, he's not recording your voice. He's recording your heart. He's recording your heart. So as you sing, you know, I who's a singer? Pavarotti. Pavarotti's a singer. Not really a singer I would listen to. But apparently a lot of people think he's good. So, you know, you could sing like Pavarotti, or you could just, as it says, shout for joy. You know, just forget melody. Stop trying to match the melody. If you can't sing it, who cares? Just shout for joy. Lord, I lift your name on high. You know, I mean, it's like, hey, if enough people are doing that, it sounds cool anyway. You know, so, you know, the Bible does exhort musicians to play skillfully. But as far as the singers go, you know, just make a joyful noise. That's all that's saying. So volume, not being self-conscious. I think one of the most horrific things in this area that I ever heard was a pastor told his wife one time that I mean she really couldn't carry a tune very well, and he told her, because he didn't enjoy her voice at all, that during worship, she should just mouth the words. Yeah. By the way, that was not me. Okay. Just so you know. Yeah. But it was, and it doesn't matter that it was a pastor, but just to ever do that to anybody. Oh, you know, you should just mouth the words. Oh, you shouldn't sing. Wow. That's devastating, because the Bible doesn't say, you know, you can only sing if you sing skillfully. Hey, sing, lift up your voices, sing aloud. Hey, if you don't have talent, make up for it in volume. You know? Shout for joy. Declare his praise. So, you know, if you end up, instead of Pavarotti, you're Garrett Morris. You guys know who Garrett Morris is? Our top story tonight. You remember this? Anyway. So if that's what it is, if you're just shouting, you're just shouting. Hey, actually, I can't see you guys very well. Can I see a show of hands of people that got that? Four. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. So anyway, and guys, I'm talking to the male members of the species now. Guys, what is it about us that it's even worse, right? For us making noise for the Lord, singing for the Lord, what is it that makes us especially self-conscious? Guys, some of you would go to a pro hockey game with your body painted blue and a big banana on your head. And you'd be like, rah! You know, at everything. And yet, then Lord, I lift your name on high comes up, and sometimes, you know, there's the guys and girls part, you know, you came from heaven to earth, tears show the way. You know, the girls are singing. But in reality, in most churches, it's like, you came from heaven to earth, tears show the way. From the earth to the ground, my debt. I mean, it's like there's a huge volume difference. So, guys, you know, I don't know what it is. But I've been to pastors' conferences, and I've been to Promise Keepers types of gatherings where I hear guys sing, so I know they can. And they can sing with volume and emotion. And guys, let's make some noise, you know? Let's, you know, don't make it a competition. I'm beat now. I'll just watch next time we have an echo song, you know, just... Yeah, do it out of a heart for God, but make noise. Sing, lift up their voices, sing aloud, shout for joy, declare his praise. So, lastly, take a look at the command in verse 12. Give glory to the Lord. Glory, Hebrew, kabod. We've talked about this word a lot. The word kabod, the glory of God, literally means heaviness, weightiness. It's a word that is translated honor. Like when you honor your mother and father, that's the word kabod. You give honor to, you give weightiness, heaviness to who they are. When you give God glory, you're giving him honor. You're putting weight behind what he says. He has influence in your life. That his opinion means more than anybody's, you know, and his commands are more important than anybody's. So when we give glory to the Lord, we are telling him that who he is, that's a heavy thing to us, you know. So with those things in mind, let's just go to the Lord and spend some time in worship and sing aloud, sing for joy, make a joyful noise, make the songs renewed in your heart. Why don't the worship team come on up and just encourage you, make these songs renewed in your heart. Amen? Amen. Amen. I only heard the women. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Awesome.